Welcome to Long-Term Care Radio on Seattle's Cairo Radio. Long-Term Care Radio is brought to you in part by 525 Advisors, your local long-term care experts. Brian Ott is a certified long-term care planning specialist and will show you how to protect the people you love from the financial, physical, and emotional consequences of a long-term care situation. Because of new state and federal laws, there are new and exciting options you need to know about. Now, here's your host, Brian Ott.
So back in 1998, I purchased my first home in Kirkland, Washington. Great little house. It was just kind of north and east of downtown. I could ride my bike into downtown where my office was. I just really enjoyed it. And it was kind of a small house that was built on this pond. So there are, I think, 8 or 10 homes around this little pond. And my house had a deck on the back that went right up to the edge of the pond. And the next summer, in summer of 99, I wanted to replace that deck, and I wanted to customize it and put a spa or a hot tub. I call them a hot tub. Official name, I think, is spa. But I had some friends that had a spa. I just really enjoyed it, and I was, you know, kind of an outdoor guy. Spent a lot of time in the mountains skiing. I thought, you know, I'm just really gonna enjoy that. So the next summer I did that. I had a friend of mine that was a contractor, Scott, that came over, and we tore down my own deck, and we kind of designed a new deck, and I gave him some measurements because I had been out searching for a hot tub, and so we built this new deck. And on my research for hot tubs, you know, I read a lot of literature because the one thing that I did not want was a broken down hot tub in the backyard. You just don't get rid of those. You don't just set them out there for the trash truck, right? You'll see people turn them into planners, or you got to call and pay somebody to come haul these things off. And I knew after reading a lot of different, you know, articles and information on the internet that there was a huge difference in quality between manufacturers of these spas. So I narrowed my search down to a Sundance Optima Spa. And I found a dealer in Redmond, AquaQuip, which was just a great dealer. It was kind of over on 140th by Sears in Redmond. They're no longer there at that location. But the manager there, his name was Dave, just a great guy. Been in the business for a long time, and I went in and I kind of explained what I was trying to do and gave him some dimensions, and here's my deck, and this is kind of what I'm looking at. And he was very patient with me. He verified all the information I had. He took some of the side panels off of the different spas that he had in the showroom and said, yes, this is why this is different. This is what this works. This is how this company is different than this company. And pretty much confirmed that the Sundance Optima was a tough spa to beat. I mean, that had Consumer Reports, Best Buy. It had Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval. It had just a lot of really good reviews on this particular manufacturer. So I waited. He said there was a sale coming up at the end of summer, so I waited, and the sale came along, and I picked my hot tub. He helped me, you know, figure out what seat pattern I wanted and all those things. So I got that hot tub installed on my deck and got it hooked up, and I had some nuances I had to learn, right? How to treat the water, how to clean out the hot tub, how to drain it, do all those things that I did. But I had that hot tub sitting on that deck for 4 years with just one service call from a technician. And that's it. Just one time did I have to have a technician come out and fix something. And it was like reset an error on a computer or something that I couldn't do. And that was it. But outside of that, I just really, really enjoyed that. I used that hot tub literally every single day, sometimes two times a day. And when I got married, my wife and I would go in there, and we had this little inner tube for our son, for Nathaniel, that we would set in that, just a little, you know, one of those little round yellow inner tubes with a seat built into it. And he just thought that was the greatest thing. We would just turn the water down to like 98 or 99 degrees and really enjoyed it. Well, when we bought our new house in 2004, and I was selling my house in Kirkland, and the real estate agent said, you know, the spa or the hot tub doesn't really add a lot of value to the house. So someone's probably going to ask you to take that out of there. So you might consider that. And I said, well, it's actually really good shape. There's no problems with it. So I called the AquaQuip, and they said, yeah, we have some guys that can come out and move it. So I took my deck apart. I drained the hot tub, and I had them come out and move it to my new house. And I installed it there. I've got a little deck off my master bedroom that's, you know, just more ground level deck, like 2 foot. So I cut it out and got the dimensions and everything and put that hot tub in place there. Now, here's what's really cool. That was 2004. Over the next 14 years, I had one service call on that hot tub. That's it. I had to have a technician come out and replace something one time in 14 years. Now, remember, I had already had it 4 years. And then I ended up having to replace a control panel there at the end. And this guy found a used one, and the guy came out and looked at it and said, you know, the problem is you've got an old spa here. This thing was 19 years old at this time, or 18 years old when I replaced the control panel. And I got about another year out of that. Now, you are listening to Long-Term Care Radio, by the way. If you just tuned in and you're saying, why are we talking about hot tubs? Just stick with me. We're gonna get to long-term care in a minute. But anyway, I got 19 years out of that original spa, 19 years, and I needed to replace it. The control panel that I replaced, it was, you know, it kind of worked, but I lost some power to jets, and then I started having these other issues, and the guy looked at it and said, you know, this is just really old, and you're going to start chasing your tail on this thing, so you might want to just look at replacing this. So what did I do? I went back down to AquaQuip, the place that I got my original hot tub. And I went in, and I was in their system because, you know, I'd go in there and get my water treated. And Dave, the gentleman that had sold me my original hot tub, had just retired like a year before. And so the whole, you know, 17 of the years that I had that hot tub, I saw Dave, you know, every 3 or 4 months when I would go down there and get water tested. So I was talking to one of the new sales guys, and I said, this is what I have. Do you guys still have the Sundance Optima? And they said, well, we don't have it at this location, but we still sell them. We sell Jacuzzi here. So I looked at Jacuzzi, and I'm like, eh, I don't know. And they said, well, Jacuzzi owns Sundance now. I said, huh, oh, that's interesting. So, but we do have the Sundance over in the Bellevue store. So I drove over to Bellevue. I looked at the Sundance Optima. I explained to the guy, this is what I have. I just got 19 years out of my last one. I really enjoyed it. And he said, yeah, these are really good hot tubs. They're hard to beat. And I said, okay, that's what I just want to know. Is there anything I should be looking at differently, or are these still really good? He said, no, these are still really good. So I went back to the regular Redmond location. I said, yeah, I think I want to go with the Sundance Optima and just replace the one I have. So they had a sale coming up, so I ordered one up. They had it in stock. I got it shipped out. I got it hooked up, and off we went. Now, here's where it gets different. The first thing I noticed is when I got into that hot tub, I started noticing some differences from my original hot tub. Like the cushions on the seat were a lot lighter, a lot flimsier, and they were all the same, where my old one had two different designs, and they were really thick and padded. The lights were different. The jets were different. My old one had like a picture of a finger on the end of a ball that would spin around and massage your back. These weren't. These jets were just static, and the water just kind of flopped up and down. That's all that it did. And I just started noticing a lot of little different nuances like that. And then I had problems. I had problems with the gate. I had problems with the lights. I ended up having to have a technician come out right out of the gate. And the reason why we're talking about this today on Long-Term Care Radio is because just this week I had a technician come out and say, oh, your flow switch is stuck, you know, shut. We've got to get to it, but I can't get to it the way you have your deck built into, or your hot tub built into your deck. So you're going to have to pull your whole hot tub out. Now, I am very type A, and I always look down the road. I mean, that's the business I'm in, is insurance. You're looking out in the future and saying, how do we prepare for things to go wrong in the future? Because you know things will. Well, I had designed this deck with a section that I could take out to get to the main control panel. And when I talked to the sales guy, I said, look, this is what I have. Here's some pictures. Can I still get to everything I need on the control panel? Oh, yeah, you'll be fine. Shouldn't have any issues. Well, now it turns out that I've got to drain my hot tub, unhook it, and completely drag this thing out for him to get to this thing to fix it. So, you guys are sitting here listening to Long-Term Care Radio saying, why in the world are we talking about hot tubs? And I will tell you why. We got a great question of the week from Brad over in Gig Harbor. And this is what Brad wanted to know. Are there differences between companies that offer long-term care insurance, and how do you pick the right one? And I will tell you, this question got me thinking. This is exactly why I have this radio show and why I started this business. You have to educate yourself and understand who is behind the product that you are buying. So 20 years ago, I did all the research on the Sundance Optima Spa, and I said, yep, this is the one. This is the one for me. This is what I want. Well, it turns out that from the time I bought that hot tub, Sundance had been bought by Jacuzzi, and then Jacuzzi, believe it or not, was purchased by this group called Apollo in 2006. So Apollo Management, they bought Jacuzzi and Sundance in a leveraged buyout. Now, what is a leveraged buyout? A leveraged buyout is the acquisition of another company using a significant amount of borrowed money. So basically, they put the assets up of the company, and they borrow a ton of money. They use those assets as collateral. It's like the old Wall Street movie with Michael Douglas. They'd buy these companies and they would go in and raid them. So what did this Apollo Management Group have to do? They had all this debt on this company. They ended up having to figure out how to make profits and get that money out of that company so they could pay the debt off. So what's the first thing they did? They moved the manufacturing to Mexico. So instead of paying somebody $20 a day or $20 an hour or $160 a day to build a hot tub like mine, which was built in the USA, they now can go to Mexico and pay somebody $3 or $7 a day to build that hot tub. Why were the cushions different on my new hot tub? Because they were cheaper. They were just a cheaper quality. If they're going to sell, 10,000 units and they can save, $5 a piece, well, guess what? That's another $50,000 of profit right there. And they start nickel and diamond and looking at everything that way. So the reason why I bring this up is because you need to understand this question that Brad had. Are there differences between companies? Yes, there's a huge difference between companies, and you need to understand who is behind that. If I would have done my research, I guarantee you I would not have purchased another Sundance Optima Spa. I would have gone out and found something that was built here in the United States that had better reviews and better warranty, because you can just see the difference what this new company did. Now, Sundance was a great company. They sold it out. The new owners decided, we've got to figure out how to make this profitable. Let's start cutting costs. Let's start cutting corners. And that is a direct result of the product that I have today sitting at my house that is not working right now. That's why we're talking about that on Long Term Care Radio. So we have got a great show today. I'm going to get to Brad's question. We're going to head into our first break here just shortly. We do have two classes coming up this month. Sign up for them Saturday at 9 a.m. and Friday. That's Saturday the 16th and then Friday the 22nd, the following Friday at 9 a.m. as well. Both of those classes are our webinar-based classes. Just sign up at our website at 525longtermcare.com and we will send you a link and you click on that and you can watch it on your smartphone or your pad or your television, whatever you want to do, and then you can send questions to us and we will answer your questions on those as well too. So sign up for that, for those. Later in the show, I've got a client of the week that I really want you to listen to. If you have IRA money or you've inherited IRA money, you've got to listen to this client of the week. This is a great client of the week. And then at the end of the show, I'm going to break down the cost of care and let you know what people are paying nationally for long-term care services. So stick around. We're going to head into our first break. We'll be right back.
Many people with near or over $1 million in assets will mistakenly pay more in taxes in a long-term care situation than it would have cost them to set up an insurance plan to pay for the care needed. Learn more by attending Brian's free asset-based class. Sign up now at 525longtermcare.com.
As you're planning and prioritizing things to accomplish this year, let me suggest something that should be way up on your list. Looking into long-term care coverage. Hey, it's Dory Monson. Like I did, you probably have a lot of questions. Well, a great way to get answers is to join my friends from 525 Advisors for their free long-term care planning live webinar next Saturday at 9 a.m. You will learn so much. 525 Advisors will explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. Then, when you're ready, 525 Advisors will design your custom plan with you, just as they did for my wife and me. Our plan even has lifetime benefits that pay us back if we never use it. Having long-term care coverage gives such great peace of mind. I love how much time they spent with us. Read the reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors, so make it a priority in 2021. Sign up today for the free live webinar next Saturday morning at 9. Go to 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
Take the burden off your loved ones by making sure your care is funded and managed in a time of need. Visit 525longtermcare.com to learn more and sign up for the next live webinar with Brian Ott. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in today's economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow Thursday, January 28th, right after my show. Zach, I'm excited to be there. Tell us what to expect.
Dory, we've taken our entire planning process, the same one you and Suzanne went through, and we've condensed it down into a 30-minute class.
Now, I love that.
We'll answer all the big questions. Do you need estate planning? Long-term care? When should you take Social Security? How much money do you need to retire? And we're also going to show everyone who attends how to protect their portfolio against loss while still growing their assets.
Join me at the Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow with Zach Abraham Thursday, January 28th, right after my show at 3. Sign up now at knowyourriskradio.com. You'll get a free copy of Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Reserve your spot now at knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement with a firm's license to conduct business. Burr Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Are you confused about the best way to protect your family and savings? Get answers now by listening to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, certified long-term care planning specialist with 525 Advisors.
And welcome back, and thanks for tuning in to Long-Term Care Radio this weekend. And yes, if you just tuned in, you missed my rant. I went down a rabbit hole about hot tubs and spas, and I apologize for that. But I got to tell you, I use that hot tub every single day, and so does my family. My kids do, my wife does, and it really brings a lot of pleasure to my life. And I just tell you, it just bums me out that I've got one that's basically brand new and not working right now. But what I wanted to talk about today is the idea of Brad's question, are there differences between companies? You have to understand that a C corporation, a business, what is the number one priority of that CEO? Who's his responsibility really to? It's to the shareholders, because they're publicly owned companies. That means like you and I. You know, we can go out and buy stock in Amazon or Microsoft or GM or any of them. Well, why did we buy that stock? We bought it because we want the value of that to go up. We don't really care. Do we really, really care whether, as a stockholder, whether Dodge makes the best pickup truck, for instance? They've won the best pickup 3 years in a row. Do we really care about that? Probably not. If we're a customer and we're driving that truck, yes, we do. But if we're the shareholder, that doesn't really matter to us. What we're really worried about is the price going up. And when it comes to insurance companies, there are several things to consider that you want to know about. Number one, what are the financial ratings? How secure is that company? And part of the financial ratings, whether they're, you know, B+ or they're A+ rated, that's going to reflect what kind of cash reserves they have, how stable they are, how they handle their claims. And so you want to understand the financial ratings. That's something that you want to consider. You also want to consider how long are they in business. Because unlike other businesses, most businesses will take and build a product, design a product, like my hot tub company, sell it, they incur the cost up front, and then they sell it and they try to make a profit. Insurance designs that product, they sell it, but they don't have to incur the expenses really until the end when the claim is filed, right? When the house burns down or when we file for the long-term care insurance. So you want to know, how long has this company been in business? If I'm looking at something for life insurance, for instance, and I might live another 50 years and I've got a company that just started last year, well, we have no idea how they handle their claims. They haven't been in business long enough. So how stable is the management team? That's something else that we want to look at on an insurance company. Do they have regular turnover? Or do they have a group of people that really work together, a really nice, stable management team? How do they treat their clients? What's their complaints? Do the research. You can go to every state has an insurance commissioner. Look up these insurance companies. How many complaints do they have? Are they trying to deny paying claims? You'll see a lot of that on auto claims and stuff like that people file complaints on. And then lastly, one of the things I think you always have to consider is, how do the companies sell their products? Through what channels? Do they go through independent agents like me that allow us to sell all the companies, or do they have captive agents and they only let their employees sell their product? So there's all these things that we want to consider when we're looking at an insurance company. Now, for me, one of the most important aspects I look for in an insurance company is the structure of the company or the ownership. How is that company set up? And let me explain this. The ownership of a traditional insurance company really comes down to two structures, either a mutual company or a stock company. Now, a stock company, those companies are owned by the shareholders, just like Amazon and just like GM and just like Microsoft. They are owned by, you can go out and buy stocks in that company. Mutual companies are owned and run for the benefit of the policyholders. Mutually owned. That means you as a client, if you have that long-term care insurance plan with a mutual company, that means you are part of the ownership of that company. That company is operating and running for you. Now, structural differences between stock and mutual companies affect business decisions. Stock companies have to answer to owners, which again are the stockholders, and policyholders both. So if management investment strategies are carried out with shareholder expectations, otherwise Wall Street, for growth, then in profit, they may be acting at the expense of the policyholders. And what do I mean by that? Well, if I spend a dollar in claim or I spend a dollar in benefits like offering the concierge care service or offering claim support, that's a dollar out of the profit, which is a dollar out of the shareholders' pockets. That's the way these guys look at that. Mutual companies, on the other hand, are owned by the policyholders. So the focus is on the policy itself, on the clients. How do we make a better experience for the people that own the company, which are our policyholders? They're not worried about what the quarterly report says. They're not going to get some call from some investment manager, some hedge fund saying, hey, what are you doing? You need to trim profits. Mutual owned companies are operating for the sole benefit of their policyholders. And folks, I will just tell you, that is huge. And back in 2009, when I was trying to put a plan in place for my mother, I was getting these quotes from like Genworth and John Hancock. Well, those are for-profit stock-owned companies. And what I did, instead of reading the literature that they gave me about their long-term care plans, is I went and I read the shareholder minutes. And they're two different stories. What they were telling their agents and what they were telling their clients about the company was completely different what they were telling their shareholders. The shareholders, they were using language like, we are gonna make the claims experience more thorough so that we can, you know, basically we're just going to put more obstacles in place to make it harder to file a claim. Because if they can delay a claim another 30 days or 60 days or 90 days, when you're talking of millions of clients, it starts adding up the profit, right? So there are all these little nuances in there. And what we're going to find out there is that, again, paying a claim is a direct drawdown against profits. And from a CEO's point of view, what can they do? They legally have to pay the claims, but what can they do? They can stop making filing a claim easy. They can make it, you know, there's some companies out there that are known that, you know, they've got 4-800 numbers and not one of them are going to get you to where you need to go. So you just have to be aware that those are some of the little things that they do. Now, a mutual company, on the other hand, generally is going to offer better services. They're generally going to offer a better claims experience. They're going to have less rate increases. When we look back at rate increases on these traditional pay-as-you-go plans, I mean, Genworth is raising rates consistently. They're doing 3-year raises at a time. So any of you listening that have a Genworth policy, you probably know what I'm talking about. John Hancock, they're doing the same thing. They're going back and they're raising rates. In fact, when I started this business over 10 years ago, there were 4 companies that had never raised rates on their existing clients. And we're talking about the traditional pay-as-you-go plans. Again, there were 4 of them, and 3 of them, actually all 4 of them, were actually mutual companies. All 4 of them were mutually structured companies. Today, we've got one company that still has not raised rates on its existing clients, and that is a mutual company. All the for-profit stock companies started raising their rates a long time ago. Now, remember, on the asset-based plans that we talk about on the radio all the time, those rates are guaranteed, so you're never going to see a rate increase, regardless of the structure of the company. But what you're more worried about at that point is the level of services. Some of the mutual companies will even pay dividends back to their existing clients. So like Mass Mutual, for instance, on their traditional plan after 10 years, they will start reducing the premium that you pay because they're paying you back a dividend. So going back to Brad's question, are there a difference in companies? Yes. And what we try to do here at 525 Advisors is 99% of the policies that we have put in place are with a mutual company. That means our clients have ownership in that company. That company is working for them. And what we've found also filing claims is that it's night and day difference. And believe me, insurance is only important when you need it. And so when it comes down to claim time, you don't want to have to jump through a bunch of hurdles. You want people on your side saying, yes, let's get you going. Let's do that. And that's what a mutual company does. So we're going to head into our next break. Stick around. When I come back, I'm going to go over our client of the week. I've got Connie and Blaine, and I'm going to show you how we set up a long-term care plan using an inherited IRA and why it's so important. We'll be right back.
Due to recent changes in the Pension Protection Act, new asset-based plans guarantee a tax-free benefit for long-term care and pay you back with interest if you never use it. Learn more and sign up for one of Brian's free classes at 525longtermcare.com.
As you're planning and prioritizing things to accomplish this year, let me suggest something that should be way up on your list. Looking into long-term care coverage. Hey, it's Dory Monson. Like I did, you probably have a lot of questions. Well, a great way to get answers is to join my friends from 525 Advisors for their free long-term care planning live webinar next Saturday at 9 a.m. You will learn so much. 525 Advisors will explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. Then, when you're ready, 525 Advisors will design your custom plan with you, just as they did for my wife and me. Our plan even has lifetime benefits that pay us back if we never use it. Having long-term care coverage gives such great peace of mind. I love how much time they spent with us. Read the reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors, so make it a priority in 2021. Sign up today for the free live webinar next Saturday morning at 9. Go to 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
Hey, it's Zach Abraham with Bulwark Capital Management and host of Know Your Risk Radio. You know, something we never really talk about on the show, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but is long-term care. And we never talk about it because we don't sell it. We're licensed to, but we don't. You want to know why? Because it's really intricate and complicated, and we're not trying to be a jack of all trades and a master of none. We want to focus on your investments. That's where we believe that we bring value. For long-term care insurance, which I think is very important, can be a good fit, maybe not right for some people, but if you have questions about long-term care insurance, do what we do, right? You know what we do? We call Brian Ott, 525 Advisors. Why? Not because he and I are both on the radio show. We started using Brian, referring it out for our clients, because he knows it inside and out. Go to 525longtermcare.com. You can contact Brian. You can sign up for one of his events. I couldn't be a bigger fan. Take advantage of it. You need long-term care. Brian's the guy to go to.
This is Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. Listen and learn information from a certified long-term care planning specialist. You can email your questions to radio at 525advisors.com.
And welcome back, and thanks again for tuning into Long-Term Care Radio. And again, Happy New Year. We're our second weekend into 2021, and I think all of us are hoping this is going to be a better year for everybody. I really do hope we get this coronavirus under control and we can kind of get back to some kind of normal in our lives. I think we all deserve that. So, and by the way, if you're new to Long-Term Care Radio, we are on several times on the weekend. So 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, again at 1 o'clock on KTTH. And then we are on Sundays on KVI over 570 KVI Sundays at noon. So you can always tune in on one of those, or you can get our podcast at 525 Long Term Care or iTunes or any of those. And again, I think where the podcast is really helpful is just about what we're getting into here is the client of the week, because we go over a lot of numbers, and I know numbers are hard on the radio, and especially if you're in and out and easily distracted because you're driving or something like that. So you can get our podcast at our website, or just ask your smart speaker to play them, and they will play the podcast of the show as well, too. So this is the part of the show, the client of the week, that I just come in and I introduce you to a couple or an individual that we put a long-term care plan in place and give you a little background. And this week I have Connie, who is 67, and Blaine, who is 66. Long-term care insurance was something that they just kind of didn't really think that much about, but they were long-term listeners to Long-Term Care Radio, and they said that's really what got them thinking about that, which is grateful. That's why we have this show. But both Connie and Blaine are happily retired and living quite comfortably. They've built up a nice nest egg. They've got mixed assets, including, you know, investments, just savings, retirement accounts, rental property. And Connie had just inherited an IRA from her mother, who passed away at the beginning of this year. They had looked into long-term care insurance years ago, but they just never really pulled the trigger. They were like, we kind of looked into it a long time ago, and then they stumbled on our radio show and they heard about some of these new programs, and they decided, you know, this might be something we want to take a second look at. They probably had enough money. But again, if we're looking at it from just a money point of view, we could make that argument like we were last week about homeowners insurance. There's just a lot more to it than just the money. So they decided that, look, we're going to look into this long-term care insurance planning. And their biggest concern by far is Connie watched her mom spend the last 4 years of her life in an assisted living facility, the last couple months in a nursing home. That's very similar to what my grandmother did. And she said, you know, it was expensive, but it also required a lot of her time. She was talking about how, the ongoing decision making, like from the people at the assisted living, your mom needs this, or she's got to go to the hospital, we got to do this. And she said she was just really involved, and there was a lot of medical data and dealing with Medicare and who's paying what. And her mom was just self-funding this. And she also realized that, look, they spent a lot of her mom's assets down those last 4 years, you know, a big chunk of money that was just going to pay for health care. Now, it was her mom's money, she said. She didn't need it. But at the same sense, it just seemed very wasteful. And like I say, when you are self-funding long-term care insurance, it's like shopping at 7-Eleven compared to Costco. I mean, you're going in and you're paying $7 for a little jar of mayonnaise. You could get 2 gallons of it at Costco. So, you know, you start getting this sense when you're self-insuring, you realize how expensive things are and you're trying to cut corners. Well, when you're in a facility, you don't really have those options. It's their prices are their prices and they go up every year. So Connie watched this. And they also realized they need to take a second look at long-term care planning, because what would happen to their family if something happened to them now? And Blaine had a good friend who had just suffered a major stroke several years ago. He was in his 60s, Blaine said, and he said he had a massive stroke, and he was in a permanent care situation now. And he admitted that is not a good situation for his friend's family, and so he didn't want to go through this. So they had some real concerns, right? What if something happens to me? We're getting older. We're looking at it. The writing's on the wall. Long-term care events are complex. So we got together, and as I was talking with them, I said, look, I just want to ask you some questions I could do all of my clients. And number one, they did not want to spend their assets down for care. And I always ask everybody that. If they have savings, they have assets, I'm like, do you want to spend this money down on care, or would you rather have it go somewhere else, whether it's charities or families? You know, what do you want to do with it? And they both agreed that, yeah, they really didn't want to spend it paying for, you know, assisted living facilities or home health care. They would rather use that money in different ways. They did not want their kids to have to manage their care. Connie was pretty adamant about this because she realized that the time suck basically for her taking care of her mom. And she said, I don't want my kids to have to go through that. She goes, it just really, really takes a lot of your time. And every time she said, every time I'd go on vacation and would try to go somewhere, my phone would ring, and it was just Murphy's Law. So she didn't want to have her kids deal with that. They wanted resources really to help them and their family should they need care. So that means they wanted the professionals to be able to come in and guide them. That's what Connie was saying. That was what was really most important, because she had some, you know, Connie's mom in the assisted living facility, there were a lot of people that had long-term care insurance, and she saw how that worked. And she talked to the manager at the assisted living facility and got some good ideas of that. And here's another thing I found out. So Connie inherited an IRA from her mother. Her mother passed away earlier in the year, and she inherited this IRA. Now, under the Secure Act, now guess what happens with this IRA money? And you need to listen to this. This is the biggest tax grab out there ever, is the Secure Act. They allowed us to basically postpone required minimum distributions. That means we don't have to start taking money out of our retirement accounts until age 72 now. It used to be the year you turned 70 and a half, but now they said you can go up to 72. well, that sounds good for us, but really the takeaway from it was that from now on, when you pass on that IRA to your kids, your retirement account, when you pass that on to anybody besides your spouse, that person that inherits that IRA now has to drain that money in 10 years. They don't have to do an equal amount every year for 10 years. They can take it all out in a lump sum, but they've got 10 years from the day they inherit that IRA to get that money out and pay taxes on it. So here's the catch. The government's looking at it, and they're saying, look, there's billions of dollars in IRA accounts out there, and a lot of that's going to be passed on to the next generation. So the next generation, like Connie and Blaine, they are doing very well. They've got good income. So guess what? They're going to have to pull this money out over 10 years and pay taxes on it. And so they're probably going to pay at a higher tax rate than Connie's mom just taking her required minimum distributions every year. So that was the tax grab. So what you have to realize, this is what, you know, I was talking a couple of weeks ago about Ed Slott saying this is one of the biggest things that people in retirement have to realize, that you've got money that is always taxed. That's your IRAs, that's your 401ks, that's your retirement account. That money is always going to be taxed. You need to convert it to money that is never taxed. And that's exactly what we're going to do today with a long-term care plan. I'm going to show you how we set this up. So for Connie and Blaine, I was talking to them, and she had this inherited IRA. She just has the money. She knows now she's got 10 years to get this money out, and they've got to pay tax on it. So what did they do? Well, my question was, do you need this money, or is this surplus money? She said, no, I really don't need this money. This is surplus money, and we would like to be able to leave some estate to our kids and grandkids as well, too. So what we did is we took this IRA that she inherited, a single amount, $458,961. Why $458,961? Because that's the amount of money that she actually had in this account. And we can use odd numbers. We don't have to do an even $200,000 or an even $300,000 or anything like that when we're setting up one of these asset-based plans. So we deposited this money with the insurance company. What it was really considered is a rollover. So we are not withdrawing that IRA money. We're actually rolling it into a new IRA with the insurance company. Now, the insurance company basically is just a holding, a savings tank, so to speak, that they are going to pay the premiums for the long-term care plan over 10 years. So what Connie and Blaine did is they simply said, look, here's this $458,000 single deposit to the insurance company. The insurance company now is going to fund a long-term care plan with that. Connie and Blaine don't have to do anything else. What the insurance company will do is they will move on their books over 10 years this money from one bucket on their books over into another bucket of the books, which is the long-term care plan. Connie and Blaine have long-term care insurance today. Now, what they're going to get for this, they're going to be able to spread the taxes out over the 10 years. Well, that's exactly what you have to do. You have to withdraw all this money out of an IRA within 10 years now. So it's going to meet those the Secure Act requirements now for them. So they're set. They're just deposited that money with the insurance company. They don't have to do anything else. What it did for them is it gave Connie and Blaine each $137,000 a year of long-term care insurance. So basically $11,445 per month per person for an unlimited amount of time. Now remember, tax-free, that money comes back to them tax-free. That is never going to be taxed as income if they go on claim. If they're both on claim, they'll get over $22,000 a month of long-term care insurance. Now, they also have the caregiver training, which means they can spend $22,000 on caregiver training. They can spend $22,000 on home improvement and medical equipment right out of this long-term care plan. And they have the concierge service level of claim service. That means they've got an assigned person to them and their family, which will help manage a claim if either one of them need help or if they both need help. And again, this was one of Connie's hot buttons. She didn't want her kids to have to deal with that. So that's what's nice about this plan. That meets that wish of hers. Now, here's what you have to understand. If they never use this money, they deposited a single deposit. Remember, that single deposit was $458,000. If they don't use that plan, 20 years down the road, they pass away, they have a nice long life, guess what? They're going to get $572,000 paid back to the estate tax-free. So again, this is what Ed Slott said. We're going to take $450,000, which is always taxable, and we're going to turn it into tax-free money for the next generation if we don't use it, or if you end up using it for long-term care, you're going to get that money back tax-free, that $11,000 per person per month for life. Now, what are they covered against? Well, they're covered against anything. They're covered against cognitive impairments. They could be on claim for 15 years. They will never run out of long-term care insurance. They could pull $5 million out of this policy. It's not going to ever run out for them. Now, remember, the problem you have with these inherited IRAs is they've got to take that money out, right? So that money is sitting in the account. It's earning, you know, let's just say you've got it in just a general indexed fund and it's growing by 3% or 5% a year, whatever it is. And you've got to pull all of that out plus the gain in 10 years and pay taxes on it. Well, what the insurance company does is they put that into an account and they essentially say, we're going to guarantee you that that $450,000 that you put in, the $458, is going to actually buy $550,000 of insurance. So if they were just going to buy this plan on their own and write 10 payments for it, write a check every year for 10 years, they would pay $55,000 a year. So that's what's wonderful about this plan. They're just getting a little bit guarantee over 3%. Now, you might be able to do better in the market, but it's not guaranteed. This is guaranteed by moving that money over to the insurance company in a lump sum. Basically, Connie and Blaine now have, they don't have to do anything. Their $458,000 is going to buy them $550,000 of long-term care insurance. If they never use that plan, they're going to get $572 back. If they use less than $572, say they only use $100,000 of long-term care, the difference is paid back. $572 minus $100, the estate would get $472 back tax-free. Now, what's unique about this plan is if they go on claim, say one of them's on claim at year five, they're going to get their $11,000 a month tax-free. But what's going to happen? They're also going to get the premium payment, that $55,000 that is coming out of that lump sum they gave that's actually going into long-term care insurance. That's going to come back to them as well, too. And so what happens is it's never going to change their tax structure. They're going to get a 1099-R every year for 10 years for $55,000, whether they're on claim or not. It's just that they're on claim. The policy has a waiver premium built into it, which means they're going to get that $55,000 plus the $11,000 per month per person for long-term care. And the good news about these plans, too, is actually that death benefit of $572. If they died in year one, it'd be $980,000. Because remember, they put $450 in. That policy has a generates a death benefit, but you also have some money in that IRA. So, I know this is complex, and I know heads are spinning on that. And that's, I don't want you to get caught up in the numbers and the weeds on this, but what I want you to understand is think about what they did. They took an inherited IRA, they handed it to the insurance company, took it out of one pocket, put it in another pocket. They're guaranteed to get more money back than they put into that plan, regardless of what happens. It solves the SECURE Act withdrawal requirements. It's going to meet all that. All that money is going to be taxed over the 10 years, so that's not going to change for them. But guess what? If they don't use this plan, they pass this money on to the next generation, it comes back to them tax-free if they end up in long-term care. I mean, think about this. They can pull out a total of $22,000, $260,000 a year tax-free for an unlimited amount of time to pay for long-term care. Very meaningful plan. So stick around. When we get back, we're going to do our next break here. And when we come back, I'm going to go over the cost of care annual survey that Genworth does every day. And I'm going to update you on some numbers there. We'll be right back.
Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, providing valuable insight to protect you in the event of an extended healthcare situation. Learn more by attending one of Brian's free classes this month. Sign up now at 525longtermcare.com. 525longtermcare.com.
As you're planning and prioritizing things to accomplish this year, let me suggest something that should be way up on your list. Looking into long-term care coverage. Hey, it's Dory Monson. Like I did, you probably have a lot of questions. Well, a great way to get answers is to join my friends from 525 Advisors for their free long-term care planning live webinar next Saturday at 9 a.m. You will learn so much. 525 Advisors will explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and around, you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. Then when you're ready, 525 Advisors will design your custom plan with you, just as they did for my wife and me. Our plan even has lifetime benefits that pay us back if we never use it. Having long-term care coverage gives such great peace of mind. I love how much time they spent with us. Read the reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors, so make it a priority in 2021. Sign up today for the free live webinar next Saturday morning at 9. Go to 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
For the most options, including new plans that protect you and your loved ones and pay you back if you never use them, visit 525longtermcare.com to learn more and sign up for the next live webinar with Brian Ott. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in this economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Well, you can join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow Thursday, January 28th, right after my show. Zach, now's the time for everyone to take a hard look at their investment strategy.
Dory, there could not be a more prescient time. I'll answer all the big questions on investors' minds because I can promise you if you're incorporating some of the long-running investment strategies in today's markets, like a basic 60-40 stock bond portfolio, you're taking a serious gamble. And now is not the time to be gambling your retirement.
Learn all about Zach's retirement planning and investment strategies at his Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow, Thursday, January 28th. I'll be there too, right after my show at 3 o'clock. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Make your reservation now at knowyourriskradio.com. That's knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Pearl Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Staying in control of your care options is a better alternative than letting the government decide for you. Welcome back to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, certified long-term care planning specialist with 525 Advisors.
And welcome back, and thanks again for tuning in to Long-Term Care Radio. Again, you're hearing the ads. Our class is coming up for January, Saturday the 16th at 9 a.m. and Friday the 22nd at 9 a.m. You can sign up at 525longtermcare.com. Again, 525longtermcare.com. And again, the wonderful thing about these classes is we're just, the webinar, I'm going to go through this information in 45 minutes, what long-term care is, what it pays for, where it pays for care, what Medicare pays for, how Medicaid works, difference between traditional plans, asset-based plans, how do plans pay you back, how do you trigger a claim. You're going to learn all of that stuff. So you'll have the basics down, and then we'll answer your questions. You can just shoot your questions in, type them in. Madeline's going to be there, and she can respond, and she'll get all those questions to me at the end. And that's really just a great way to kind of get your toes in the water, so to speak, and wrap your mind around this. And then when you're ready, we're going to start discussing some of these options and designing a plan like we did for Connie and Blair this week. And everybody has a different option, right? What's your situation? What's the best option to fund it? Are you a business owner? Whatever it is, we're going to go through all that information with you. And our process is very straightforward. You fill out a pre-screen. You can get that on our website. We have to have that information. Tell us about your health. Tell us about the medications, because that allows us to tell you what options we have available. And then we're going to schedule a meeting. I'm going to go over the basics with you. Where do you want to age? Tell me about your family. Tell me about your assets, your income. And we'll design a plan for you. And then when we're ready, we will guide you through that application process. And Madeline is our case manager. She's one of the best in the country. I'd put her up against anybody. She really works hard writing the cover letters and making sure that when we submit that application that we're going to get you approved. Because a lot of people are turned down for long-term care because they apply to the wrong companies. And that is our job, is to guide you through that process. And quite frankly, if you buy an insurance plan from me or from the guy across the street, it's the same plan. You're going to pay the same money. There's no difference that way. Our specialty is really in the design process and making sure that we get you through and navigate you through that underwriting process. Because, again, you have to get insurance when you're healthy enough to qualify. So keep that in mind. So I was just reading a report that comes across. So Genworth is still one of the largest servicers of long-term care contracts in the country. And Genworth does this annual cost of care survey, which they started back in 2004. And here's really the latest news. Assisted living prices for assisted living facilities have jumped 6.15% to an annual median cost of $51,600. Now, remember last week I was talking about being financial literate, financial literacy in the state. Median means half above, half below. It's not average. Average is where you take the numbers and then you divide them, right? You take two numbers, add them together, and divide. Median means half above, half below. So half the people are paying above $51,000, half are paying below $51,000 for assisted living facilities. Homemaker costs, those are the people that come in and just maybe do light housework. They're not necessarily skilled people. That's up 4.4% to $53,000 a year. A home health aide, so that's going to be somebody that's probably going to be able to help you more with medications, bathing, dressing, things like that. Really, they're interchangeable. In a lot of agencies, they'll send out either a home health aide or just a homemaker, whatever you need. Those prices are up 4.3% to $54,000. Private nursing home up 3.57% to $105,000. That's the median price of a private nursing home room. It's $105,000 a year. A semi-private room, $93,000 a year. So about $1,000 a month difference between a semi-private room and a private room. So, again, basically, COVID has really pushed the costs up. That's what the point of this article was, because a lot of people, especially the homemaker services, more people want to stay at home, so they're more willing to bring those caregivers into their home as opposed to moving into a facility. So we saw those jumps up, and even assisted living facilities, we saw a pretty big jump as well, too. People are doing everything they can to stay out of the nursing home. Now, the survey goes over the 10 cheapest states for long-term care services. And, you know, again, we're based in Washington State, and I'll just tell you the bad news is we're not on the list. But there are, I know we have people that listen to our podcasts all over the country. And coming in at number 10 is Kentucky. Number 9 is Idaho. That's not too far away. Number 8, Louisiana. Number 7, South Dakota. Number 6, Nevada. Number 5, Arkansas. Number 4 is Georgia. So, you know, outside of Atlanta, maybe you can find some inexpensive health care. Number 3 is Utah. That was surprising to me. Utah is actually one of the cheaper states. Number 2 is Alabama. And the cheapest state to get long-term care services in the United States right now, according to the Genworth study, is Missouri. That is number 1 cheapest spot. So keep that in mind. I mean, and quite frankly, those costs for care vary widely. I mean, you can get homemaker services in places like Oklahoma and Texas for, you know, $15, $16 an hour, and you'll pay $30, $35 an hour in places out here in California and stuff as well, too. So anyway, thanks for putting up with me again another weekend. I'm sorry about my diatribe there on the hot tub, but, you know, I'd love to go home and take a hot tub today, but I'm not going to be able to, so that kind of bums me out, but that's, you know, lesson learned. I should have done my research. And let us know how we can help you. Go to our website at 525longtermcare.com. We have lots of resources, lots of information. We're going to help you when you're ready, so just reach out and let us know when you want to start talking about putting a plan in place, because, again, you know, the best thing that a long-term care plan does is it protects the people you care about most. That's why I have my plan, is because I don't want my family have to deal with me, and that's what it does, and we're going to guide you and show you how you can do that. So we'll be back next week with another new show. Thanks again, and again, sign up for our class, 525longtermcare.com.
Thanks for listening to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. Event info, planning resources, and long-term care radio podcasts can all be found at 525longtermcare.com. To schedule an appointment with Brian Ott, call 425-748-8188. That's 425-748-8188. For more information on the show or to sign up for a free long-term care planning class, visit 525longtermcare.com. Tune in next Saturday morning at 8 to Long-Term Care Radio with your host, Brian Ott, on Cairo Radio.